Most of us listen to music for what appeals to our ears. And in pop music, there's a term called the hook. A hook could be a melody, a phrase, or a riff that catches the ear, and it's usually in the chorus. Classical music is built on thematic material and formulas that are dependent on harmonies. And how a composer maneuvers through the formula is often where the creativity and sometimes the genius is found. But the term hook isn't really applied in classical music the way it's found in rock, hip-hop, or disco. Welcome back to Accelerando. My name is Paula Tuttle, and today we're going to do a little music theory, hoping to divine what makes certain forms the most relevant in the history of composition. A listener asked me to do an episode that explains the difference between all of the types of symphonic works we hear in the concert hall. Symphonies, concertos, fantasies, sonatas, overtures, and more. In other words, they want a little music theory to help them understand what they're listening to. And I get it. People will enjoy the music if the mystery or the uncertainty is alleviated. If they realize, for instance, that the thematic material in Brahms' Piano Concerto No. 1 was originally written to be a symphony, but the composer, Brahms, got cold feet about the significance of his first symphony. He wasn't quite ready to commit. That might shed some light on the creative concerns of one of the greatest composers the listener hears in concert halls. Brahms falls in the timeline of composers shortly after Beethoven. And Beethoven left some big shoes to fill. Symphonies were perhaps the closest thing to a novel in literature. Other works could be like articles, poems, plays, short stories, or essays. But the novel is the work that defines an author. Symphonies were like that to Brahms, so he wrote 4 symphonies, all of them a tour de force. But his concerti and chamber works were also great. So musicians have a certain threshold for theory, meaning we had to endure it in college. Some of us loved it. Others understood it but didn't care about the details because we lived it every day. In my experience, I liked the harmonic analysis the most. I endured the compositional or format analysis, and I really couldn't care about the timelines and remembering dates. But we digest the information as we work our way through our musical lives. Some find it extremely relevant. Others focus or prefer to dig into the music on another level. Maybe this is a creative choice as well. Okay, so this is for the listeners that are engaged, but they want a short assessment of what makes one form different from another. So I'll attempt to make it as clear as possible. But hopefully, the really curious music enthusiasts will want to look something up after this, something that this thread points to. Because there is really no wrong way to listen to music. So, okay, here goes. If you want to make a map for listening, let's take the basic forms. Binary, ternary, rondo, variations, and fugue. Well, that was easy, but you also want to know which pieces fall with each kind of form, and each of these can be made compound. So we take the first one. Binary form is AB, 2 phrases that are different. This piece could be construed as AABB. When you're listening to music, you can listen to thematic content this way. The AA is sometimes a question-answer type of phrase, because the second A sounds like the answer to the first A, and the second B also sounds like an answer to the first B. Okay, so that's the simplest form, AB, or AABB in this case. Ternary form is just adding another A, so AB. A. In Greensleeves, you could do that. Just go back to A. A-A-B-B-A-A. This is often written as da capo. That's Italian for to the head. So we go to the beginning and finish at the fine marking, which is at the end of A. We see this form in minuets, scherzos, gavottes, and arias. Lots of symphonies have a middle movement in this form. So let's take the same idea a little further. We can go A-B-A and then add C, the rondo form, which is commonly a final movement of a symphony, sonata, or concerto, or a standalone piece has this format. A-B-A-C-A-B-A. Or even add a D, or even more phrases. Mozart adds lots of episodes in his Rondo alla Turca. Can you write down the format? In pop music, songs, and hymns, we see verses and stanzas. And you can think of A as the chorus in a pop song. Maybe the rondo form will make you think of those things. And someone suggested that Mozart wrote a magic rondo. The format included transitions labeled R, so the format spelled abracadabra. Fun. The next form we're talking about is variation form, which means there's something that ties together all the variations. So it's usually a theme in binary or AB form. Then the variations on that theme change components. It could be the tempo, the time signature, the mode, or just vast ornamentation. Usually the harmony is a stabilizing factor, but it could also be a basic melody. Some famous variation movements are Elgar's Enigma variations, Tchaikovsky's Rococo variations, and Andrew Lloyd Webber's variations. Also, J.S. Bach's Goldberg variations. So it's easy enough to hear these, and if you see the word variations, you can know what to expect. In ballet, dancers think of variations as solos for a single dancer. Once a dancer asked me to play a variation for a class. I didn't realize what he wanted at the time. Sometimes terms are reframed in different art sectors, and variations are very common in ballet. We're actually playing Balanchine's Theme and Variations this month. It choreographs Tchaikovsky's final movement to the Orchestra Suite No. 3, Opus 55. There's a theme and 12 variations, and the final variation is a Polonaise. Thank you. much earlier music, there were chaconnes and passacaglias, and they were variations that are based on a ground or bass ostinato. The Handel Halvorsen Passacaglia is a great example of this kind of theme and variation format. Last form on my very abbreviated list is the fugue. The thing that really defines a fugue is its contrapuntal style. Bach was the greatest at this. Some people say, think of a crossword puzzle. So there's a subject or a melody, and it overlaps itself, and it usually plays in three or four voices, and each one might start on a different note. So here's Bach's G minor fugue from the Well-Tempered Clavier. My theory teacher told us the words to the theme were, "My socks are dirty and I don't give a damn." So when you say voices, maybe it helps to think of words to the theme. In all of Bach's fugues in the Well-Tempered Clavier, there's a part called the stretto. It's like the development. But that word has also a meaning in later music that simply means get faster. So the older meaning of stretto will be little clips of the theme strung together to sound improvisational or virtuosic. So the words in the stretto could be, and I don't give a damn, and I don't give a damn, and I don't give a damn, and I don't give a damn. Okay, so we have the basic building blocks. And when you hear a symphony, the first movement is usually what is called sonata allegro form. And that is basically an expanded ternary form with a big development before the return to A. We have an exposition that is AB and a development that might quote pieces of the A and B themes or use the techniques the fugue used in the stretto section. How a composer treats the development is often where we find his mark or his creativity. And the development is where we can have some fun. The return to A is the recapitulation or the recap, and there's usually a coda, a playout to the end of the piece. Here's a fun piece to explore listening to sonata form, Prokofiev's Classical Symphony. It's meant to be clearly representative of the classical formulas, and it's less than 5 minutes. A real rarity, and is absolutely charming. Enjoy! I'll post some suggestions in the show notes at acelleronocast.com. This Prokofiev recording has a score to follow along on YouTube. And even if you don't read music, I'll bet that this visual will enhance your listening experience. I hope you enjoy having some new mapping skills, but remember, it's not necessary to analyze a piece to enjoy it. So I hope you have a great week, and maybe you'll come to the ballet April 14th, 15th, and 16th at the Benidorm Theater. The PBT Orchestra will be featured from the pit in Balanchine's Theme and Variations. Hope to see you there.